You are listening to an ADIS Journal podcast.
Hello and welcome to this Targeted Oncology podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to discuss real-world data on post-transplant outcomes, including the incidence of hepatic veno-occlusive disease among patients with acute lymphoblastic leukemia who received inotuzumab azogamycin prior to hematopoietic stem cell transplantation. I'm Dr. David Marks from University Hospitals Bristol NHS Trust, and I'm here today speaking with Dr. Marcus de Lima from Ohio State University. So to kick off, Dr. de Lima, to begin, could you give us a brief introduction to the therapeutic area for acute lymphoblastic leukemia?
Acute lymphoblastic leukemia, ALL, is a rare disease that affects lymphoblasts derived from lymphoid stem cells and is rapidly fatal without appropriate treatment. Standard therapies for ALL result in disease remission in around 90% of newly diagnosed adult patients. However, around half of patients will experience disease relapse, between 40 and 50%. Relapse is when ALL returns from achieving or attaining a complete remission or CR, whereas ALL that stops responding to treatment is known as refractory. Allogeneic hematopoietic stem cell transplantation, HSCT, can improve long-term outcomes and is considered the most effective option for relapsed refractory ALL. However, HSCT promotes endothelial cell injury in the liver, and this can lead to the loss of sinusoidal wall integrity, endothelial cell detachment, sinusoidal obstruction, and development of post-sinusoidal portal hypertension and possibly hepatic venous occlusion. Myeloablative or high-dose chemotherapy is often administered before HSCT to destroy ALL cells and reduce the risk of rejection of the donor cells, as well as reduce the risk of relapse post-HSCT. However, studies have shown that myeloablative conditioning prior to HSCT can increase the risk of hepatic veno-occlusive disease, or VOD, also known as sinusoidal obstruction syndrome, or SOS. It is suggested that the combination of these treatments can result in injury to the sinusoidal endothelium of the liver, causing post-HSCT VOD-SOS. This, however, is a rare complication of allograft, fortunately. Actually, Dr. Marks, I have a question. Moving on, could you explain what inotuzumab is and give us an overview of what previous clinical trial data has found about the use of ino and VOD risk?
Sure. Inotuzumab azogamycin, or ino, is an antibody drug conjugate approved in the US, Europe, and many countries globally for relapsed refractory ALL. ENO was approved in adults with relapsed refractory ALL based on the findings of the phase 3 INNOVATE ALL trial. In this trial, patients were more likely to experience post-HSCT hepatic VOD if they had received prior ENO compared with patients who received chemotherapy, with a reported incidence of 14%, or 23 out of 164, versus 2.1%, 3 out of 143, respectively. VOD SOS rate is higher in patients receiving more versus fewer ENO cycles. However, the time from last ENO dose to HSCT conditioning initiation is not associated with the risk of VOD SOS. Other factors that were associated with an increased risk of VOD SOS in patients who received ENO included conditioning with two alkylating agents and last available pre-HSCT bilirubin concentration of greater than or equal to the upper limit of normal. The long-term benefit from ENO in terms of duration of remission, progression-free survival, and overall survival is optimized among patients proceeding to HSCT after receiving two or fewer ENO cycles, with an increased risk with increasing number of cycles without evidence of benefit. Despite the substantial clinical benefit seen with ENO treatment in ALL patients, various studies have demonstrated an increased risk of VOD SOS, particularly following HSCT. So, a question for you now, Dr. de Lima. Could you tell us about this study that set out to evaluate post-HSCT outcomes in adult patients who received prior ENO treatment?
Thank you. This was an observational, non-interventional, post-authorization safety study known as a PASS, PASS study. The study used real-world data obtained from the Center for International Blood and Marrow Transplant Research, also known as CIBMTR, database to evaluate post-transplant outcomes in adult patients who received inotuzumab from August 18, 2017. To August 18th, 2022. The objective of the study was to evaluate patient, disease, and transplant-related characteristics, including details of all prior anti-cancer therapies, timing of inotuzumab treatment prior to HSCT, transplant-related mortality, non-transplant-related mortality, also known as NTRM, relapse, overall survival, and post-HSCT adverse events of interest, including VOD-SOS and cause of death. We then reported outcomes in all adult ALL patients and the subset of patients with relapsed refractory ALL who had received inotuzumab and proceeded to first HSCT. Dr. Marks, can you please describe the patient population that was included in this study? And maybe some clinically relevant details and outcomes prior to transplant.
Yeah, sure. So, in terms of pre-HSCT status, this study included heavily pretreated patients. 52% of patients received a myeloablative or high-intensity conditioning regimen. 45% received reduced-intensity non-myeloablative regimen. And in 2% of patients, the conditioning regimen was unknown. Myeloablative conditioning is considered a modifiable risk factor for VOD SOS by the European Society for Blood and Marrow Transplantation, or EBMT. Prior to HSCT, 32%, 12%, and 8% of all patients had abnormal AST, ALT, or serum bilirubin levels, respectively. Among patients treated with ENO prior to HSCT, 36% were in first complete remission, or CR1, 47% in CR2, and 11% in third complete remission or greater. After treatment with ENO, CR or CRI was achieved in 81% of all patients, and MRD negativity achieved in 75% of the 215 patients in remission who were evaluated. MRD testing methods included flow cytometry, next-generation sequencing, and polymerase chain reaction. Generally, the threshold used for MRD negativity is 10 to the minus 4, or 0.01%. Few patients received more than two cycles, 54 or 16.9%. It's presumed that this is due to knowledge on scheduling and the package insert that also recommends two cycles for patients proceeding to HSCT, and that a third cycle may be considered for those patients who do not achieve CR or CRI and MRD negativity after two cycles. So, moving on, what were the post HSCT outcomes and safety observed in this patient population?
Post-HSCT clinical outcomes and adverse events included 18 months overall survival for all patients in this study, which was 54%. For the subset of patients with relapsed refractory ALL, 18-month overall survival was actually 50%. 18-month transplant-related mortality was 22%. For all patients, and 25% for patients within the relapsed refractory subgroup. At 18 months, 40% of all patients in the study and 40% of relapsed refractory patients experienced post-HSCT relapse. 49 of 93, which is 53%, patients experienced post-HSCT relapse died within 18 months, with a median time from transplant to death of 7.1 months. Of the 151 patients, or 62%, who did not experience post-HSCT relapse, 50, 33%, died in remission within 18 months of transplant, with a median time from transplant to TRM of 2.1 months. Adverse events occurring in greater or equal to 30% of patients with ALL within 100 days post-HSCT were bacterial infection, 51%, viral infection, 44%, and acute GVHD, grade 2 to 4, at 43%. Rates were similar among patients with relapsed refractory ALL. Within 100 days post-transplant, 14% of all patients having their first transplant and 18% of patients with relapsed refractory ALL had developed VOD-SOS. Overall, 204 patients with ALL were alive at last contact and had at least 1 year or more of follow-up data, or who died at any time following first HSCT were included in a multivariate analysis. So this multivariate analysis found that Karnofsky performance status score of less than 90 and use of dual alkylators in the conditioning regimen were negative prognostic factors for 18-month treatment-related mortality. Within the univariate analysis, we found that abnormal versus normal bilirubin levels in last evaluation prior to HSCT were associated with greater risk for 18-month treatment-related mortality. Furthermore, use of dual alkylators in the conditioning regimen was the only negative prognostic factor for VOD-SOS within 100 days. Cumulative inotuzumab exposure and the combination of an alkylating agent with total body radiation were not associated with an increased rate of VOD-SOS within the first 100 days. Finally, the median cumulative dose among the 204 patients included in this analysis was 2.2 milligrams per meter square, ranging from 0.3 to 6.9 milligrams per meter square.
So, if I can ask another question, Dr. de Lima, what's your impression of these data? How did the incidence of VOD reported in this study compare to that reported in previous studies?
Thank you. The incidence of VOD within the first 100 days of HSCT was 14% and 18% among all patients and those with relapsed refractory ALL, respectively. This is consistent with what we have seen previously. In the pooled analysis of patients who were treated with inotuzumab and proceeded to transplant in the phase I/II study 1010 and the phase III INNOVATE trials, VOD was reported in 19% of patients with N of 101. Of 35 patients with ALL who developed VOD-SOS, 15 cases were mild and 20 were severe. So therefore, the VOD-SOS rate in this CIBMTR study was similar to that observed in the pivotal phase III INNOVATE study. In this study here, 5% of all patients and 7% of relapsed refractory patients experienced post-HSCT VOS-SOS mortality. Of the patients who developed post-HSCT VOD-SOS, mortality was 36% in outpatients with ALL and 40% in patients with relapsed refractory ALL. So this brings me to another question, Dr. Marks. Moving on, can you comment on the post-HSCT clinical outcomes in the context of clinical studies?
Sure. So the cumulative incidence of post-transplant VOD-SOS for all patients with ALL and patients with relapsed refractory ALL were consistent with rates reported by the INNOVATE trials. about 19%. Transplant-related mortality in this study was 22% in all patients with ALL and 25% in patients with relapsed refractory ALL. These rates are lower compared to INNOVATE, where the 18-month TRM was 38%. The data support that Eno remains effective in a real-world patient population that was more heavily treated than those included in INNOVATE, which comprised salvage one and two only. So, final question. This has obviously been a brief overview of the results of a 5-year real-world safety study of the use of Eno before HSCT in ALL.
Yeah, I would say that VOD-SOS occur in relapsed refractory ALL patients treated with inotuzumab who proceed to allogeneic HSCT. However, rates were similar to those previously reported. And I also would add that medium cumulative inotuzumab dose in this particular study was 2.2 milligrams per meter squared. Ultimately, this may reflect that clinicians are becoming more familiar with inotuzumab use, and this medium cumulative dose likely reflects the labeled recommendations of limiting Eno to 2 cycles prior to transplant. The study also reported a high post-HSCT VOD mortality rate of 36% in all patients with ALL and 40% in patients with relapsed refractory ALL, suggesting the need for close observation and early therapy in these patients. Finally, I would say that avoiding the known risk factors for VOD continues to be an important strategy when making decisions regarding inotuzumab treatment.
Dr. de Lima, I just wonder if you'd like to make some closing remarks.
Thank you. Thank you. So, knowing that a substantial proportion of patients achieve complete remission with 1 cycle of inotuzumab, it is therefore important to have a donor identified and ready to go in order to minimize the need for additional Eno cycles. And I would also add that having received Eno should not be an impediment for a life-saving allogeneic transplant.
Furthermore, it's clearly good to have substantial real-world data to help us to quantify the risk of post-transplant VOD. And it's also possible that careful use of inotuzumab may reduce this risk further, but we clearly need better treatments for VOD.
You can listen to more podcasts by subscribing to ADIS Journal Podcasts with your preferred podcast provider or by visiting the journal website. For a full list of declarations, including funding and author disclosure statements and copyright information, please visit the article page on the journal website. The link to the article page can be found in the podcast description.